Okay, we'll start from Perek Beis, Pasuk Tezvav. It says, V'yakumu v'yavdu, v'yavru, I'm sorry, v'mispar sh'nemasar l'vinyam, v'lish boshes ben shol, sh'nemasar m'yavdi David. So they rose and they crossed over. There were 12 in number altogether. 12 for Binyamin, and 12 for, you know, which was each boshes of the son of Shol, and then another 12 from the servants of David HaMelech himself. Right, so you have 12 altogether that were there. Now, even, obviously, the reason why they chose 12 is to represent the Shvatim. Each one was claiming that if they win this war, they take over the 12 Shvatim of Klal Yisrael. They're the rightful king, and they're the ones there. Avner wanted to hint, right? David's rule over Yehuda is unjustified. We're in charge of all 12. And Yoav said, no, no, no. In the end, David's going to rule over all 12 of Klal Yisrael, which makes a ton of sense, right? Each one of them wanted to do it over here. So that's that. Now, again, when it says the 12 men that Yoav sent were referred to as David's servants, if you notice, by Avner, they're not known as Ish Boshes' servants. It says Avdei David, but it doesn't say the Avdei Ishbosheth. It's simply put because the kingdom was never really given to Ishbosheth. They believed in Avner and they allowed Avner to tell them what to do, but they didn't really believe in Ishbosheth himself. So look in Tezayin. Yachziku Ishbosh Reyu. Each guy grabbed onto the head of his friend, the Chavu Bitzad Reyu, and their swords were on their side, right? Vayiplu Yachtov, and they fell together. It escalated really quickly. It's almost as if, right, as they were fighting each other and wrestling and doing whatever, each one just got really into it and stuck their swords into the other person at the same time. Now, the way the Navi is saying it, it sounds like as if all 24 people died at the exact same time. That 12 on 12, and each one of them fought each other, and literally all died at the same time. Well, hold on. Well, then everybody else got involved. That's in everybody else. But here it says, they called it the fight of the stone that was in Givon itself. But that's what it sounds like. And then the war became very strong. Once they saw that everybody was dying on both sides, Avdei David started going crazy and destroys. Simply put, the word batihi is used in a sad fashion. We've already said that the word vayihi is bad. Batihi is even worse. It was so much sorrow, so sad, because it was clear that this never should have happened in the first place. There was nothing that was supposed to be there. Vayusham Shlosha ben Tzruya, there were three sons of Tzruya, the sister of David HaMelech. And again, we have no idea why they're known as Tzruya's kids and not her husband's kids.
How do we know that Tzruya is the mother? Where does it ever say that?
Before Achos, the Achos David was Tzruya and Abigail. Those were his two sisters, right?
He had a sister named Abigail too,
and he married one, right? So they actually bring that down for the note of Yehuda brings that as one of the rise against the Sefer HaChassidim in the will. In the will, he says you shouldn't marry somebody whose sister is the same name as yours. But he married.
Wait,
what
I
about
thought you shouldn't marry somebody whose same name is your mother.
Mother, that's there as well. Yeah,
maybe it's a unisex name. Both.
It very well could be, and there is, in Rav Chaim Kanievsky, he brings this down as a possibility that Tzruya was the name of the father and the mother. He does bring it down as a possibility, but it's likely that we're just going with the mother. If it's just the mother, that means either the husband was not Chashev at all, or the husband passed away already, and therefore they're known as the sons of Tzruya. But Yoav, Abishai, and Asoel. Asoel Kalbaraglav, he was extremely light on his feet, very quick. Kachar Atzvayim, like one of the gazelles, Asher Basada, that you can find in the field itself. He had a great power over here, and he assumed that he would be able to catch Avner, kill him, and escape without being caught. Now, the Ralbag says he knew that David HaMelech was going to be king soon, so he wouldn't be punished for this. Or, since it was a state of war, maybe he'd be allowed to kill Avner. Maybe that's going to be over here. Now, the truth is, he was extremely fast. Much, much faster than Avner. There's no question whatsoever. But Avner was extremely powerful. Chazal say that Asol is one of the six people who have a physical feature that is so great, it was the greatest of all time. And Asol in his speed. I don't know Usain Bolt, if you'd compare, but
like,
who would be there if you'd had a race? The Yud of Asol Achar Avner, Asol chased after Avner. He didn't turn right or left. He held halachically that he was Chayev Misa for being Morid B'Malchus Beis David, and therefore he said, I'm going to kill. But again, it could be because it was in the middle of war. In war, you go for whoever. But even Avner Acharov, Avner turned behind. By Yomer Atozah Asol, is that you, Asol? Yomer Anochi, it is. Yomer Avner, Nitelechal Yimin Chol Smocha, go to the right or the left. V'Echuzachal Echamina Arim, take one of the other young lads. V'Kachachal Eschalitzaso, take his shirt if you want. V'Lo Av Asol, Asor Me Acharov, Asol did not want to turn away from him. So number one, he wanted, Avner was a chassid, he was a tzaddik, and he wanted to have a bear. He wanted to know what Asol's intentions were. He didn't want to kill him before finding out exactly what he was trying to do. That Barbanel says, maybe you're embarrassed to turn away from me as if you couldn't kill me. So instead, I'll make it look like, go after the other one, make it look like you were always chasing after that young man and not me. That way, you don't have to worry about being embarrassed and everything's going to be okay. That's how the Abarbanel says it, right? But he refused to take that advice over here. If you'll notice, it seems like Avner said, go take his shirt. He never meant there to be death. It happened to be that people died, but he never meant there for to be death here, which is why he said, grab one of the lads and take his shirt. He never meant for it to be that you kill the guy. There's no way you could actually ask for something like that. That's what he assumed. It seems like there's no way that he would allow something like that. The Radak says, maybe he offered the lad as an escort. If you want to be safe, you want safe passage out of this area, take the lad and ask him to help. You can even take his weapons away in order to feel safe, but do that instead. That's how the Radak puts it. They also said, Avner lemor al Asol. So Avner then said to Asol, Sur lecha me'acharoi, turn away from me. Loma akeka arza, why should I strike you to the ground? Then how am I going to lift my face to Yoav, your brother? So he gave him a second warning. Again, this is way beyond lifnim yishur sadin, right? The Das Sofrim says it shows
there must have been some sort of respect.
Yeah, they weren't enemies. Exactly. Das Sofrim says it shows they were not enemies over here. So it says in Pasuk Chav Gimel Ve'imayin Lasur, but he refused to turn away. Ve'akehu Avner ba'achrei achanis elachomesh. So Avner hit him right by where the spear was, to the fifth rib. And the spear went behind him as well, meaning straight through his body. And he fell there, and he almost talked up, and he died on that spot. Everybody came to that spot where Asol fell and died. They stood, they halted for a second. And again, there are opinions that say that Avner never meant to kill Asol. He just wanted to incapacitate him, and that's that. And that's why he used, seemingly, the back of the spear. V'hachanis me'acharov could be that he used the back of the spear and not the sharp part of the spear.
And the spear is in his hand. Mm-hmm. It would be an awkward position to turn the spear back.
No, he'd have to go like that. No, he would have to stick backward.
He'd have to flip around the spear in his hand, and he couldn't do that. That's why he hit him with the back of the spear.
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, but he could have turned around and just went like that. If he's doing that, it could be. But that could be, and it was mistakenly that he hit him in the Chomesh. However, it does seem kind of strange that that's not direct. It sounds like he knew exactly where he was going and exactly what he was doing. And Avner was an expert in what he was doing over here, and that's what happened over here. Now, up until now, although people had died, and already the 24 had died and there were other people there, no one on the level of Asol had passed away. And they were shocked by it. They might have known that he was going after Avner. Maybe they realized, maybe they didn't, right? Maybe they thought that Asol was just trying to catch him, not to kill him, but to grab him and show that he won the war. We have absolutely no idea, but they were shocked that Asol was dead. Yirfu Yoav Avishai Achorei Avner. See, Yoav and Avishai, Asol's brothers, chased after Avner as Goalei Hadam. Vashemesh Ba, as the sun was setting, Behima Boal Al Givas Amo, they came all the way to Givas Amo, I show up in a Giach, right by the area called Giach, Derech Mi Bar Givon. They escaped to Bnei Binyamin Acharov, Avner. So the Bnei Binyamin all gathered after Avner, Vayula Agud Achaz, they all became one big united group, right? Vayamdu Al Rosh Giva Achaz, and they stood at one top of the hill. So it seems over here that the Bnei Binyamin realized what was happening, and they made a huge, area right over there, where in order to attack them, there would be lots of people around. The Midrashim say, this was not revenge. Again, they're still in a state of war, seemingly, so it wasn't exactly a Gol Adam, but it was a problem. Now, they're dealing with, we're fighting an entire army. Avner said to Yoav, will forever you will consume the sword? You know it's going to be bitter in the end. How long will it be? You don't tell your brothers to stay away from their other brothers. How long will this be? Now, it sounds like Avner's blaming Yoav for everything that happened over here. But Avner suggested it in the first place. So that's weird. If Avner suggested it, he should have said, right, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do this in the first place. But instead of apologizing for killing us all, he's blaming Yoav for what happened over here.
He's blaming him. It seems more like he's saying, why are we continuing this? Are we always going to be fighting? Let's just end it now.
I hear it. It's just so, isn't that strange that Avner is trying to do it when he just killed Yoav's brother right in the middle of the war?
As far as he's concerned, it's completely justified.
Okay,
I
hear that.
He warned him and said, listen, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, he told him exactly that. That is 100% correct. Now, it could be it's just that. Maybe Avner turned to Yoav and said, listen, I know David's going to become king. You know that David's going to become king. Is it that big of a deal? Let's just wait. David's going to become king really soon. Don't worry about it whatsoever. However, it also could be there was a bit of a nevuah here. Remember, Avner is a huge Talmid Chacham. He could be he was prophesying his own end. We both know that we're going to have bitter ends. Avner was killed by Yoav. Yoav was killed by Shlomo HaMelech. Both of them were killed and did not die on their own beds. They were prophesying how bitter it's going to be at the very end. The Abarbanel says, though, he mamish blamed Yoav. He said, you knew this when we fought. You knew something like this was going to happen. Why did you agree to it? You shouldn't have agreed to it. Vayomer Yoav, Chai Elokim, by the life of God, ki luli devarti ki oz meabokir nala amash ish meachorei achiv. Had you not spoken from the beginning, from the morning, we would have just parted every man from their brother. It's because you said it in the first place. Vayiska Yoav, a shofar Yoav blew on his shofar, v'yamdu kol ha'am, and all the people halted. V'lo yidivu od achorei Yisrael, v'lo yisvod li lachem. They didn't pursue after Bnei Yisrael. They didn't go fight war anymore. This shows a strength that Yoav had, that he so badly wanted to defeat Avner and to take him down for what he just did to his brother. And he said, you know what? We'll stop. If we don't need to fight anymore, we're stopping. But Avner Manoshev Holkobah Ravako Lila, they went through the forest all night long. But Lila, who, simply put, they did not trust Yoav. They didn't stay in place, and they went away as far as they could. But Yavru was there and they crossed the Jordan River, Yochel Kol Abisrom Vayavol Machanoyim. And they went all over the pass until they got to Machanoyim. Could be that Yoav and Avishai also were worried about a surprise attack, and they also went away. Says the Rabag, they both traveled through the night. Says in Pasuk Lamed, Yoav Shal Meachare Avner, Yoav turned away from Avner. And he gathered all the people. There was missing from the servants of David 19 men and a soil. The Sifri says that a soil was equal to all the other 19 men, that in strength he was equal to the 19 men. Now, obviously, out of this, 12 of them fought in the beginning, and they were the ones that died. So in the war, 7 men and a soil died from David HaMelech's army. That's only 8. And then it says, "Va'yavdei David hikum mi'binyamin." They killed from Binyamin and Me'anshei Avner, from the men of Avner, shlosh me'os v'shishim ish mesu, 360 men. That is an unbelievable amount. Again, 12 died in the original attack. So you're telling me in the army, in the war itself, I'm sorry, there were 348 men dead from Shaul, and 8 men dead from David HaMelech. That is a crazy number. That's a 50-to-1 ratio of how many people died. But you saw how David was destroyed over here. It's interesting, if everybody looks, Avdei David Hiku. They're known as Avdei David again. Avdei David died right over here. The Ralbag says David was not mentioned during the battle because he never approved any of this. He didn't want it to happen. But it's clear that they all considered David HaMelech their king. Vayisu es asol v'yikbaru bekever aviv. They carried us all. They buried him in the kever of his father, Shir Beis Lechem, right by Beis Lechem. V'yochel kol laila. Yoav va'anosha v'yeor lehem bechavron. They went all night long, Yoav and all of his men. And they, by the time it got light, they went to Hebron. So they buried him right then as soon as they could. I think I have a rye over here that his father already died. I mean, unless Kever Aviv means the Kever that his father had bought, sounds like his father had died, which is why they're known as Bnei Tsruya. Their father was already dead. They were known as the sons of Tsruya, the sister of David HaMelech. But I have no proof. It could be that it's the father's Kever itself.
He had like a mausoleum, an area.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know. That I don't know. And maybe he wasn't buried with Yishai, so, you know, that would be a little bit different. Okay, now we have Perikimel. So it's a Vatim Okam Aruka ben Beis Shol ben Beis David, Vadabad Holech Lechazeku Beis Shol Holchem Dalan. The war was very long between the house of Shol and the house of David. Melech and David became stronger and stronger, while the house of Shol became poorer and poorer. Now, what happened was, is that as the war became more longer and protracted, now remember, that happened after 2 years after Ish-bosheth was made king. So the next 5 years where this is going on, this support for David became stronger. That means that people were leaving Shaul's army and joining David's army. And little by little, he was getting people from Asher and Naphtali and Dan and even Binyamin. People were joining him one by one by one by one. So it was 5 years altogether, and that's that. Article brings down over here, the article on the bottom says that there was no real battle and no one died over these 5 years. It was just a war of allegiance. Who do you follow? Who's the person that you're going to be under? So it says, "Vayivoldu leDavid bani beChavron." David had children in Chavron. Vayibachoro Amnon. His bechor, his oldest, is Amnon. We're going to see him later on. Lachinoam Israelis. Right? Amnon, unfortunately, is the one that gets killed. Mishneo Kilav Lavigail. Ashes Neville HaKarmeli. Avigal, the wife of Neville HaKarmeli, still known as the wife of Neville HaKarmeli, was Kilav. Kilav later on is going to be known as Daniel. We'll talk about him in a second. Vashlishi, Avshalom ben Ma'acha bas Talmai, Melech Geshur. The third was Avshalom, the son of Ma'acha, the daughter of Talmai, the king of Geshur, meaning he took her in a war, and Avshalom was there. All three of them we know. Avshalom is the one that's going to rebel later on. Now, Kilav is an interesting one over here. Daniel was his name because Hashem said, but David HaMelech said, God had judged me that what I did with Neville and Avigail was good. Once he had a child like Daniel, Kilav, then it was like that. That's the idea behind it. Kilav is because people suspected that he might be Neville's kid because he was born 7 months after he married Avigail. They thought maybe it could be Neville HaKarmeli's kid. So therefore, he was Kulo of. He looked like his father, David HaMelech, so they all knew that it was absolutely his, and that stopped all the taunting and all the gossip that they said right over there. Again, the reason why we call her the wife of Neville HaKarmeli is to differentiate because there's another Avigail. Avigail, the daughter of Nachash, his sister. So there's Avigail, his sister, and Avigail, the wife of Neville HaKarmeli, who's now married to David HaMelech as well. There is something cool about this as well. David HaMelech's Rebbe was Mephibosheth. I don't know how or when, but Mephibosheth, the son of Yehonasan, was his Rebbe at some point. When Mephibosheth taught him Torah, Mephibosheth, the reason why he's called that way is because from his mouth came embarrassment to David. David could not get another word in edgewise because Mephibosheth was so brilliant. When Kilav was born and Kilav grew up, Kilav embarrassed or shamed or took on the shame of his father, the machlim av of his father, and used to fight Mephibosheth in learning and defeat him. So because of that, you have Kilav as being this massive, massive Talmud Chacham. Not only that, but Kilav himself was somebody who, according to the Gemara, never sinned. He's one of the four people who never sinned. Yishai, Binyamin, and Amram are the other three. Kilav was somebody who never sinned, and the only reason why he died is because Adam Rishon had to die, so everybody has to die. But otherwise, Kilav was this massive Talmud Chacham who had absolutely no issues when it came down to it. So great, in fact, he never wanted to become king. When Avshalom and Amnon and Shlomo Melech and Adoniyahu are fighting over the kingship, Kilav is silent. He's nowhere to be found, even though he's the second to oldest. When Amnon died, he should be the next in line to become king. But Kilav never wanted it. Kilav said, I'm a Talmud Chacham. I'm going to sit and learn the whole day long. I'm not going to do anything else. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. We do not. It's possible that he was dead. It's possible that he was dead. However, it's difficult to say, not always, but it's difficult to say that David HaMelech had. We see the crazy bad things that happened to David in his lifetime. A child dying in your lifetime would be mentioned because that's a punishment that he shouldn't deserve.
Right, but the other children died because something happened.
That's definitely true. No question whatsoever. It's just we normally don't punish people on the level of David unless it says it in the text somewhere. He also would not have been very old. He would have been about 30, right? 35 maybe by the time.
He took Avigail.
When he was 33.
That was before he became king.
Yeah, that's 33.
He was king for 40 years. So he was 20.
Oh, you're right. You are correct. I was thinking 7 years in Chevron. You're right, because he became king at 37. So it would have been 30. You're right, so he'd have been 40 years old. So he wasn't that old. Yeah, he wasn't that old. All right, so Pasuk Dalet. Varavi Adoniah ben Chagis. The fourth one is Adoniyahu. We're going to see him as well, son of Chagit. And Chamishis is Shvatio ben Avital. Shvatio, we know nothing about except for one thing. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi traced his descendants, his lineage, back to Shvatia. We have no idea anything else from Shvatia except that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi.
Where is that written down?
It's when he talks about Reb Chiya, when he talks about how he and Reb Chiya couldn't marry the same girl. Ksuvis Samach Beis, I believe, somewhere right around there. But he said that I couldn't marry into Reb Chiya, so I was Reb Chiya from another one. Apparently not. No, just had to trace back to David HaMelech. But Rabbi Yonasi traced it all the way back to there. Bashishi, the sixth one, Yisra'am le'egla ishas David, to Egla, the wife of David. Ela yuldu le'David v'chevron. These were all born to David and Chevron. There were many other children, but that's right there. Now, Egla could have been Michal. That makes sense that she's called Ashes David, the wife of David, because until this point, obviously, she had been taken and brought to Palti ben Laish. So wife of David could be over there, could be the wife of his youth, because he was especially fond of her. It is interesting. We do find that, for some reason, wives are called cows and calves back in the day, and I don't know why. Paro had his dream, right? And he saw seven cows. And what did the translators say? According to Rashi, they said, you're going to have seven daughters who are taken. Now, if you go up to the king and you say, the cows in your dream refer to your daughters, you think you're going to live? It must be that that was a term of endearment that they used back then. Really strange. But Egla, especially, refers to a term of endearment. Some say that the wailing that she did when Dove Melech was taken away was like that of a calf. Right, so therefore it's like that, the crying that she had right over there. Regardless, it seems also that the reason why it says Eshes David is to take away that she never fully married Palti Ben Laish, meaning she never had relations with him, she never consummated that marriage, and that's why she's called Eshes David, but not Eshes Palti or anything like that. But the Radak says Egla is not Micha. The Radak says, if you look at the pasuk itself, Egla is another woman altogether. It's somebody entirely different. Some say it was Shaul's wife. David HaMelech was able to marry any of the wives of Shaul HaMelech, and he was able to marry Shaul HaMelech's wife as well. So David married her. That woman was Egla, and that's why in Perek Yud Beis, it says, I gave you the wives of your master. And that's one of them. It could be referring to Michal because of the daughter, but it could be referring to right over here, and that's that. Who knows, right? The Midrash Shocher Tov says she wouldn't accept a yoke and rebelled against Shaul, and that's why she's known as Egla itself. Chazal also say, this is a Gemara in Yevamis, David had 400 children altogether. Some of them were Bnei Yifei Toar. They had these long blurius, and they used to fight, and they were part of his army, but he had 400 children altogether. And I don't know, because usually the number 300 is an exaggeration. 400 is more exact, but 400 also seems to be an extreme, since he only had 18 wives and didn't have others. It would be strange if he had more than that. Anyway, Pasuk Vav, Ibi Yosam Mechamah ben Beis Shaul ben Beis David, Avner and Mischaz ben Beis Shaul. There was a war between Beis Shaul and Beis David. Avner was strengthening himself, was supporting the house of Shaul. Shaul Pilegesh. Shaul HaMelech had a Pilegesh, had a concubine. Ushma Ritzba Bas Aya. This is never a full wife of Shaul, but he had a concubine named Ritzba Bas Aya. Vayomer Avner, he said to Avner, Matua Basol Pilegesh Avi. So, Ish-bosheth said to Avner, why have you had relations with the Pilegesh of my father? In Sanhedrin Yuchasim et Aleph, it says, only a king can marry the widow of a king, even concubines. You can't do it. You're not a king. What would it be? Now, this is the greatness of Ish-bosheth. I want you to think about this for a second. Ish-bosheth knew the only reason why he's king is because of Avner. Avner is the one who's putting him in charge, and he's the only reason why he's up there. And he still went up to him and gave him Musar. And said, how could you have done this? Avner, you're a tremendous Talmud Chacham. Why is this Mutter? He gave him Mutter, even though he knew that the only reason why he's king is because of Avner itself, and he knew things are going down. Now, it is interesting that the downfall of Shaul HaMelech's kingdom is through a Pilegesh, and we all know that Binyamin had Pilegesh Begiva earlier. It seems to be that it's almost as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing us that there was an event that was associated with Pilegesh Begiva that led to the deaths of both Ish-bosheth and Avner. Now, it could be that Ish-bosheth even interpreted this as an act of rebellion. And he went up to Avner and said, are you rebelling? Are you trying to take over the kingdom by being with Ritzba Bas Aya? After all, later on, Adoniyahu tries to marry Avishag HaShunamis for that reason, because he says marrying the concubine of the king will make you look like. So he went up to him and he said that.
She was never technically a concubine because there's a
Melchoyed. Avishag HaShunamis, that is correct. Shlomo Melch, however, knew what he was trying to do.
Right.
That idea, maybe Ish-bosheth was suspecting Avner. So why did he do it? Why did he do it? If he did it, it could be it didn't happen, it was a rumor, but the response of Vayicher la'Avner ma'od al divrei Ish-bosheth, Avner was so angry at the words of Ish-bosheth, Vayom ha'rosh kelevanuch, one of the head of dogs, Shel Yehuda, Hayom aseh chesed in beis Shaul avicha, I have done chesed with the house of Shaul, your father, v'alachot v'almareyu, to his brothers, to all of his friends, v'loim tzitzicha b'yad David, I didn't put you in the hands of David, v'tivkot alai avona isha hayom, you're ascribing to me the sin of this woman today? See, the Bar Ben-El, the Malvim say, he definitely did it. He definitely did. He never denied it. He never said no. There's no question that he did. So how? The Malbim asked, how in the world could he do it? So he said, he held that he was the power behind the throne. And since Shaul HaMelech's Malchus was not the real Malchus, because clearly David and Yehuda is supposed to have the Malchus, this is almost like a secondary Malchus. And a secondary Malchus, you can marry a Pilegesh of that king. This is a Psak that he held, and therefore would be mutter for him to go ahead and do that. But the Marie Kara says he was 100% innocent, and he didn't say it because he didn't feel he needed to say it. There's no way he actually did it. Now, the wording of, am I the head of a dog of Yehuda, is really interesting. He said, there's six different explanations for it. I'll say it quickly. Number one, am I a commander of Yehuda's army, right? How could you speak to me this way? I'm the only real commander that you have. That's number one. Number two, even though in Yehuda I would be like the head of dogs because I'm not that chashuv, by you, I'm your top warrior. So you should, what's it called? You should say that to me. Number three, aren't I your watchdog protecting you from the men of Yehuda? How in the world are you treating me this way? That's that. Number four, do you think that if I go over to David, I'll be the head of a dog? If I join David's forces, I'll be the head of a lion. I'll be the head of him and I'll take care of everything you need. Some say that he said exactly, I remain for you because in Yehuda, I would be held in great esteem. I'm the head of a dog right now. I feel like I would be I would be better off if I went over there. And number six, he says, do you really think that I'm turning my face on you when you think I'm rebelling against you to go back there? What am I, a dog that turns to another master? Chas, I'm not going to do that. Pasuk Tes.
Yeah. I think the shot seems like, what am I, nothing?
Yeah, piece of garbage.
But I should be allowed to do this almost because I'm high up in the house of the
king.
Well,
if it's Usher, it's Usher. You know what I'm saying? That's the only difference. Unless he had a real pattern.
I don't know.
Did they know the halacha at the time?
I'm not talking about it from a halacha perspective. It seems more like it's just like a legal rule. You don't take the king's consort.
I hear what you're saying. I think it's halacha. If it's not halacha, then you'd be right. And Avner could say, like, what do you mean? I can do what I want, right? I'm the general, and there's nothing wrong with the Pilegesh. Maybe you could say that. But if it's halacha, it's halacha. It is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Yud Chesem and Aleph. That's the problem. We'd have to see over there if it's an actual halacha or if it's just the law of the king. I don't know if there's a difference, though. Pasuk Tes, Kol Yaseh Elokim LaAvner V'Kol Yosif Lo, Ki Kasher Nishba Hashem LeDavid Kenin Yaseh Loi. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this to Avner, and even more so, because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an oath to David, that's what I'm going to do to him, to establish his kingdom. The Radak says, where do we ever see God swearing that he's going to become king? We said, because Hashem's word is, you're going to become king. That's like a swearing. We're going to take the kingdom away from Beis Shol. We're going to establish the throne of David HaMelech HaYisrael V'Yehuda Midon V'Be'er Sheva. From Dun all the way to Be'er Sheva itself, right? He had recognized, Avner said he wanted to get 2 points across. Number one, I recognize that David HaMelech is supposed to be king eventually. Number two, Avner clearly is supposed to be on David HaMelech's side, and therefore he went through right over here. Could be that, again, the oath is through Nasan HaNavi. Lo yachol od lahashiv es Avner davar miyaroso. So Ish-boshes couldn't say anything to Avner. He feared him. He was totally afraid, and he wasn't sure what to do over here from that point on. Vayishlach Avner melochem al David, tachtov. Avner sent messengers to David instead of himself, saying, Lemi Eretz, who belongs the land? Lemor, courts of Britzcha Yiti, if you make a Britz with me, v'ne yadi imach, my hand will be with you, l'hazev elachos kol Yisrael, I will bring all of Bnei Yisrael back to you. Now, again, this might be, tachtov might be that he's subjugating himself to David HaMelech himself. It could be that's what he refers to over here. However, it's interesting. My hand is with you, now you'll be able to win. It sounds like he's almost disrespecting him. So Rashi says it actually was disrespecting, and according to Rashi, he actually put his name first in the document. In the document he sent over to David, he said, from Avner to David. And for that reason, he was punished, not to the king, to David, from to David HaMelech, from Avner is the way he should have said it. But Avner still didn't treat him the way it is. But it definitely would be an end to the war, what happened over here.
So, but he would be unifying the land because...
Definitely. Don't say that to the king. You got to treat the king with better respect.
But
you have to say...
He's not his king yet.
But he's considering him as king and he's making him into the king. You're right. That's exactly why he didn't do it. But that's his fault. He should have realized you're sending a message to the king. If you really feel he's going to be king, then you treat him as the king itself. You have to do it.
Yeah, but he's kind of like feeling like he's the king right now.
What, Avner? Clearly. Clearly. Yeah, and that's his problem. That's the problem over here. This is an interesting one. What happened? You want to look at Avner for a second. If he held that Shaul had to have two, a son as a king, there had to be two kings, and Mamish, that was he paskin that had to be so, and it seemed like that's what he said over here. Just because he's angry, he's swaying his mind, he knew what he did wrong. He knew what happened with Ritzvah Vasaya, so all of a sudden he's like, you know what, that's it, I'm out. What happened? Come on. Like, yes, it could be that we're saying that Avner was just fickle and he went back on it, but it seems like Chazal treat him so great. There's got to be something more.
Without getting into,
Midrashim,
yeah. It to like a halachic discussion here. Avner, from a logical, from a pshat perspective, and not to say anything negative about it, but when Avner now is in a quandary, Shaul's dead, his army was destroyed by the police team, and David's getting power. Mm-hmm. What's going to be of him? He's a powerful man.
Correct.
So he's going to find Ish-bosheth, who's going to be a figurehead, because
correct.
He has the genealogy to be a king. Avner does not. But Avner will be the power behind the scenes. And very now good. This is a way for Avner to be a powerful
very good.
Man.
Yep. Very
now
good.
Now he's saying, well, you know what? What do I need this guy who's going to give me a hard time about everything I do? I'm going to go to David.
There's no question. In Pasha Pshat, there is absolutely no question that is the Pshat in the Pasuk. That Avner is clearly an opportunist. And he's finding the opportunities. He's seeing that he had Ish-Boshes. It's no longer happening. He goes over to David. He finds a way to get
and
over
also,
to David.
He needed an excuse to leave Ish-Boshes because it seems like something's boiling over. He's losing soldiers.
100%. Yeah, he sees the opportunity. He's an opportunist. He sees the opportunity. There's no question. What I'm asking is, according to the Midrashei Chazal that say he was an Av Bezin, that say he's a huge right. Talmid Chacham, that he only did Lahalacha, then what happened? What's happening over here? Why would he have changed just because of this over here? So the answer is the following. The Malbim says, Shaul was king for 2 years. So Ish-Boshes did not have to be king for more than that. Ish-Boshes was allowed to be king for a little bit, but no more than that. So therefore, the halakha is fulfilled. In other words, the pasuk that says you're going to have
he'll
kings from your midst
day,
is fulfilled. Well, he said because at least 2 years, he'll give him 2 years, the pasuk is fulfilled, I'm done. Or he saw the falling out as a sign from Shemayim that he's supposed to stop. The fact that there was a falling out went over here as well. It could be in the Miyamoy says that all he assumed from the pasuk is that somehow Ish-Boshes is supposed to be king. Maybe even a day. Maybe you're right. Maybe even a day. And after that, he said, no need. Said David HaMelech, I'll make a bris with you. But I need one thing from you. I don't want you to come to me until you bring me Michal Bashol when you come to see my face. I want this over here. Now, the reason why he wanted this is because, simply put, because seeing that he was going to ascend the throne, it makes sense that he'd have the king's, the former king's daughter, right? His actual showing that he was a son-in-law, that he's not trying to take over and usurp the throne. He didn't want Ish-Boshes to be dead. All he wanted over here was to show, look, I have the right to the kingdom. That's all he wanted over here. I'm not rebelling. Michal is coming back for that reason. It could be David HaMelech is trying to test Avner. Are you willing to do it? Maybe he's trying to see if Ish-Boshes would object to what was happening over here. He wasn't sure what was going to happen. Maybe this would be an atonement, a kapara for what you're doing by bringing this back. Again, you took the king's concubine
against the house of Shaul.
Yes, it would be. Yes, it would be. Well, I don't know, because it's David's wife. That's the problem.
So Ish-Boshes' sister.
That's a difference. That's a difference. Yeah, that would be at least something that's a little bit there. But I think from here, it's pretty much a good raya that Eglah is not Michal. Because if Eglah is Michal, that means this child of Eglah should have been older, right, than at least Abigail. Because Abigail, who he married, right, and Kilov is the second child over here, Abigail was married after he had already run into the deserts, right? Michal was already married. If Michal had a child, you'd assume that Michal's child was born before that. So why is Eglah the last one mentioned over here? Why is she the last one over here? Now, it could be it's because, no, Eglah came later on, and we're just talking over here about what's going to be in the future. It could be that way, but we don't know. We have absolutely no idea. So, give me my wife, Michal. See, asked Ish-Boshes, not Avner. Give me my wife, Michal, that I had engaged through the 100 Orlos of the Plishtim itself. Now, here's an interesting thing in and of itself. Why did Shaul HaMelech consider the marriage of David and Michal? Oh, we'll end in like 5 minutes. So why was that considered invalid? What was there? What was wrong over here?
Wait, but then hold on. Why is he going? He said to Avner, you have this job.
But then he didn't want it to seem like a rebellion. So he sent a message directly to Ish-Boshes and said, Ish-Boshes, you bring it to me, right? Because it is my rightful wife and I do want it, right? And that's that. He also thought that that might help Ish-Boshes understand, right, that he doesn't want him dead. He's trying to bring him over so that he can be in the family of Shaul, that Shaul's family can still be a part of his. There's something like that. It's your sister, you know what it is. This is interesting. Okay, so here's the following. Remember how David HaMelech took over? Shaul HaMelech said, whoever defeats Goliath, right, will marry my daughter. Where's the Kiddushin? What's the Kiddushin in such a case? Right? What happens in such a case? So Shaul HaMelech owed him money for destroying Goliath, right? Instead of giving him the money, there was the debt, right? A milva that was happening, a loan. David HaMelech had Michal and said to Shaul, I forgive the debt. This will be in lieu of the debt. You owe me money from defeating Goliath because you had promised money. Give me Michal, and that's in lieu of the debt itself. Can you be a Mekadesh, a woman, through the forgiving of a loan? Okay? So the answer is no. You can't with a loan. That does not work. You need something else. So that's why Shaul HaMelech said, you also need to give me 100 orlas of the Plishtim. Right? So that's worth a pruta. It's a shava pruta. And through
what
that...
What are you going to do with an orla of a Plishtim? Maybe the hana he gets by
gives to the dogs.
100, but maybe his 100 and his enemies are now dead.
No, but it has to mean something because it's got to be a value. So the value would be to give to dogs probably as food for the dogs.
Even if you can't say the value, because the Gemara says that you have the value that you get from something that the intangible is shava.
Yeah, but not for kedusha.
No, if somebody gives, if he's an Adam Chashuv and he accepts a gift from a woman.
Very good.
The hana she gets by him accepting the gift, he could be Mekadosh or what?
That is correct. That's a good one. I don't know. Either way, that's a good call. It's supposedly the 100 orlas, and it's like that. Okay, so either way, but the 100 orlas is worth something, whether it's worth the fact that they're dead or something like that. But now you have a kasha. If a person is Mekadosh a woman with a milva and a pruta, is the mind on the milva, and therefore it doesn't work? Or is the mind on the pruta, and therefore it does work? Because the kiddushin is there, but is the milva more chashiv than the pruta, or is the pruta more chashiv than the milva? In that case, Shaul held, the mind is on the milva, no marriage. And that's why he took away Michal. David said, no, the mind is on the pruta, and therefore marriage, and she's married to me. And that's why I said, she's engaged to me not through a loan, but through the mea orlos plishtim. That's what he said over there. That's the idea of what was supposed to be over here. And that's why he said, I should be married to her. So Ishboshes went and took her from the man, from Paltiel ben Laish, right over here. Interesting over here. Paltiel, as we said over here, Michal never was together with Palti. And therefore, he's known as Paltiel, saved by Hashem. We all know the Medrash, right? Medrash says that he put in his bed a sword, right? And said, anyone who's together with this woman will not live, will be killed by the sword. And although he had to marry her because he felt that Shaul HaMelech was forcing him to marry her, he never had relations
so
with her.
When Shaul died,
and therefore, Paltiel. I'm sorry?
Why did he stay with her when Shaul died?
So that's hard. That's by far the hardest one. Maybe because of Ishbosheth, and therefore because of that, maybe that's the reason why. But in Sanhedrin Chav Beis, it says he never did it.
And why was he crying when he was following her? He was like, okay, well, this is why.
So hold on. So hold on one second. We'll go to that in a second, right? However, the Abarbanel says something different. You notice he says, Me'im Ish, Me'im Paltiel ben Laish. It does not say Isha Paltiel ben Laish. It says from the man, Paltiel ben Laish. According to the Abarbanel, she was never her husband. He wanted her protected in Palti's home. Palti was a man who protected her. And that's what it says before. He gave her to Paltiel ben Laish. Yeah, he was a guard. Michal was like his daughter. Michal was never like his wife and never was like that. She's not doesn't refer to that. Hold on, so we have that. So that's number one. That's right over there. Okay? And then, again, there would be a major issue if Michal was taken in between, right, of David HaMelech returning to her. If we considered her having relations with Paltiel, it would be weird that David HaMelech was coming together, right, and being able to be together with her. That's not mutter. Unless Michal the entire time was being raped, if she was an ones the entire time, then David would still be mutter. But if she willingly slept with Paltiel, then you can't do that. So it seems weird that that would be under there. The Radak says that Shaul forced him to divorce Michal. And therefore, she did marry Palti ben Laish, but he did it under protest, and it was null and void. She could therefore return to him, even though she married someone else, because the marriage was never a valid marriage. She didn't know that the divorce was null and void. You should know there's even a Gemara that says that's the reason why if a woman is divorced, you can't divorce a woman and say, on condition that we never had any children. Because if she marries somebody else and has children, then the guy can come back and say, whoa, I never married you. I thought you couldn't have any children, and that's why I divorced you. I wouldn't have divorced you otherwise. And then go back, which will cause the second marriage to be buttle.
The first marriage is never a marriage.
Who? David HaMelech? Yeah. Or David HaMelech had to have held the first one was a real marriage. Meaning, because he held Milvul Pruta, it's on the Pruta, and he said, I was Mekadesh, right, Asher Erasti Li. So he had to have considered it in some way, shape, or form. But then, Tazayim, Ve'yelchita Isha, her man went with her, Halokha V'cho'achara, going and crying after her, Bachurim, Ve'yemei Levavner, Leich Shuv V'yashov, go back, right, and he went back. Isha is in her man. Right? There is the line over there. This is like by Tzipora, right? But it says the same thing over here. So this is interesting over here. So some Rishonim say it was tears of joy. Some say it was because he was tears of joy that he was able to do this and he was fine up until this point. Others say she was like a daughter to him. He was so sad that she had to go. And of course, there could be the opinion that they were actually married and he was upset that he had to leave, but that was the halacha that had to be. Chazal say that every Shabbos, when we say b'fi yisharim tisalol, b'fi yisharim tisalol refer to the three people who are tzaddikim, who were able to hold themselves back from something wrong. Boaz from Rus, Paltiel from here, from Michal, and Yosef from Eishes Potiphar. We also say Sheker Achein v'Hevel Ayofi. Sheker Achein refers to Yosef and Ish Paltifar. Hevel Ayofi is Rus and Boaz. Isha Yuras Hashem Hisi Saul is referring to Paltiel and Laish and Michal, that he's able to hold himself back. All right, I think we'll stop right here. Yeah, perfect. We'll stop with Pasuk Yud Zion, and right? And we'll see what happens next time.
Handed her off to Avner. So they were working together in transferring this.
There's no question. There's no question.
Avner's already broken off.
I think that he had broken off. He's only being handed the girl, right, from what happened over there, but he wasn't involved in the taking and probably did not go back to Ishbosheth's kingdom. But the likelihood is that Avner had ins and outs. He was able to do whatever he wanted, right? He can go in, he can do whatever he wants. And if what's Ishbosheth going to do? You're going to try to kill me? My men like me more than they like you. I'm not worried about that. So I'm sure Ishbosheth was sitting there as a figurehead saying, I'll do what I can. I just don't know if I can do anything else. All right, guys.